Didn't last long. Prospered again. Started getting rich and increased with goods and needed nothing again, and God sent World War II.
Right.
500,000 men. 500,000. Took 500,000 men to bring them to their knees this time. Brought people to their knees. We saw revival. God again. Same pattern as Israel.
Sir.
And here comes Korea. 50,000 more. Vietnam. You know, and I wonder now, it doesn't bother me for God to send something to bring us to our knees. I pray for it. But my fear is that he's not going to.
Right.
That's my fear. Is that God's just going to let it go just like it is. Until we destroy ourselves from the inside. You can't. You know, what you preached 20 years ago would bring an altar full, and now they just yawn.
Yeah.
Yawn. Yeah. Sleep in church. It's just.
Right, preacher.
What's it going to take before we drive ourselves to our knees and say, Lord God, we can't do it. And you can't, you hear me? You know, so many times I go to the prayer room and it's not flowing.
Right.
It's not easy. It's like God ain't 100 miles around. And I was in there this morning, it just seemed like a rock. Just like a rock. Like I didn't even know God. And then I just began to weep.
Right.
And I said, Lord, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm not going to live right without you.
That's right.
It's godless flesh. It hates God. It's eat up with sin. It's constantly, my mind is just a constant battle. 1 minute the word of God's going through there, the next minute some hellish song.
Right.
Just constant battle. Flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, constantly. And every fiber of my soul, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That lasts about 60 seconds. Here comes Amalek.
Yeah.
We got the greatest thing we could possibly have is church. He said, take a deep breath. You know the best thing you can do tonight is say, I'm here, and I might as well at least give every bit of my attention to what God has to say. Because when I leave here, I'm going to be right back in to feed my flesh for the rest of the week. So at least God's given us a little bit of reprieve in church to where we can hear something from God.
Man.
And if you respond correctly, you might get a whole lot more than you bargained for.
Right.
God certainly wants to give it to us. I was reading through Joel here, and many times, if you're a preacher, God will give you a message in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to stop when I'm praying to write stuff down. Because God will give me a message when I'm in the prayer room.
Right.
But I want you to look in Joel chapter number 2, verse number 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart and with fasting. But that's a long lost doctrine, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Some of you couldn't remember the last time you fasted. Some of you's never fasted. Never pushed away from the table. I promise you this. God can bring you down low enough that you'll want to.
That's right.
I don't want God to have to bring me down low enough that I have to fast. I want to do it willingly. I don't want the time to come that I've shut my mouth up praising God that he lets a stone do it for me.
Right.
I want to praise him while I got the breath and while I want to. And he deserves it. He's worthy.
Sir.
We're slack to give it to him. He said, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping. When's the last time you wept? You know why you don't weep? I can tell you why you don't weep. Because your heart's hard.
Right.
That's why. It's It's the only reason you don't weep.
Sir.
You weep because your heart's broke. You weep because your heart's soft.
Hey.
You don't weep because your heart's hardened. You know what hardens your heart? Unbelief. You told the disciples, unbelief.
Right.
You know, I was praying this morning. There's some things in my life that I think are just impossible. I know they're impossible, but they're not impossible for God. They're not. Jesus was laying in the bottom of that boat, and these men who have been fishermen all their life, probably third generation, maybe more fishermen, and they're sitting there, and their boat is filled to capacity, and it's beginning to sink. And they're terrified. And they go to the bottom of the ship and they said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? And he wakes up and he says to the wind and to the waves, peace, be still. And everything's just as calm as glass. And he said, how is it that you have no faith? God expected them to believe that no matter how much water got in that ship's not going to sink. And it's not. And I said, Lord God, it don't matter how full the ship gets. It's not going to sink with you in it.
Right.
And I may not can do it, but God can. And I'm going to tell you something else too. He said, I can do all things through Christ.
Right.
Which strengtheneth me. There's nothing in your life that God can't take care of. When I got born again, the night I got born again, the first words of hope that ever went in my eyes was when I walked in that church and I seen a sign on that back wall that said, Jesus is the answer
right.
to all your problems in life and death. It was poured indelibly in my soul that night. I've never had a problem that I couldn't take care of since that day. I didn't have none before then. I just didn't know it. He said, turn to me. Turn to me. Turn to me. That's what he said, turn. Are you going the right way? It's obvious somebody's not going the right way or they wouldn't have to turn, would they?
Right.
Turn. Turn, that means you got to do something. You got to do something. Turn, he said. Don't keep going the same way you're going.
Right.
If you get the same results and you've not done anything different, don't expect anything different.
Right.
There's nothing going to change unless you do something to change it. The ball's not in God's court. It's in our court.
Sir.
He said, turn. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart. Rend your heart. And not your garments. That's where it's at, ain't it?
Sir.
It's at heart. You know why church is boring to you? Because your heart has a lot of garbage in it.
Right.
Life's better than church. You know why you sleep in church? Because your heart is full of you. He's done said it tonight. We're full of us. We're full of ourselves. I promise you, if you come looking for God, you can stay awake. You come looking for God, you'll find God. You come looking for something from God, you'll find something from God. Because you know what? He's looking to give you something.
Man.
God wants to give us something, son. He is a benevolent God. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he just keeps on giving. And he's got so much that he's never given away. And he's got so much up there. He's got stuff up there he's never going to give away because there's nobody that wants it.
Right.
There's levels that we've never reached with God and we never will because we don't want to go another level. God's got levels we can't even think of. He said, joy unspeakable. Woo! That's what I need a good dose of again.
Right, preacher.
I like that joy unspeakable. You know what happens when that happens to me? I just sit and weep. I just weep, tears flowing down my face, and I can't praise God enough. That's joy unspeakable.
Right.
Full of glory.
Yeah.
You know what causes that? I remember, I'll remind you again, I sat there at my desk that Sunday morning, Hadn't slept about 3 hours, felt like I'd been beat. Physically, I didn't a bit more want to go to church than a man in a mug. And I sat there at my desk, and I said, Lord, would you bless me this morning? And I changed my mind. I said, no, Lord, would you overwhelm me? And I barely got the word overwhelm out of my mouth, and God said, I saved you, didn't I?
Hey.
And it was over. I just lost it. I just sat there at my desk, and I just started weeping. I said, Lord, I don't need any more. I don't need anything else. You saved me. That's a gracious plan. And if you don't ever do anything for me again, as long as I live, right. Lord, God, you saved me.
Amen.
That's enough to overwhelm anybody. If you ever get a hold of it, you find out it'll overwhelm
you. Right, preacher.
Overwhelm you.
Right.
Rend your heart, not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. This is what got my attention. He's merciful.
Right.
And my message tonight is taking heed to God's mercy. I don't know if I'll get to it or not. But taking heed to God's mercy. You know, when you have mercy on somebody and they don't care, what does it do to you? What does it do? When you have mercy on somebody and they couldn't care less about what you said anymore, it makes you not want to have any more mercy. Now, thank God, God's not quite that way, but he can get that way. I couldn't possibly, words cannot say what mercy God has. I couldn't adequately describe the mercy of God tonight. There is nothing in the world that brings me to tears like God's mercy.
Right.
When I think of what I ought to have and God did not give it to me, it brings me to tears. Nothing brings me to tears any quicker than to see how God has had such mercy,
yes, sir,
on me.
Yes, sir.
He said, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and it repenteth him of the evil. He said, God repents of the evil. Now that word evil doesn't mean sin.
Right.
Obviously, because God don't sin. But it said that these things above here, rending your heart and not your garments, turning to the Lord with all your heart, fasting, weeping, and mourning, will cause God to repent of the evil. Giving you what he ought to give you. God told Jonah, you go to Nineveh and you preach and you tell them people 40 days and your history. It's over. 40 days and I'm going to destroy Nineveh. And the Bible said they turned and they repented. And from the king all the way down. And he said, you put sackcloth on the beasts. And he said, let not one man, don't you eat a bite of food. And he said, let's turn to God.
Hallelujah.
And who knows if he'll have mercy.
Mm.
And boy, he did.
God.
He did.
Man.
Folks, if God will have mercy on that's one of the most ungodly cities that ever lived, folks, Nineveh. If God had mercy on Nineveh, what would he do for us if we'll turn to him? What would he do for his children if we'll turn to him? Look what he said. Verse 4, this is what really got my attention. He said, who knoweth if he will return, means he's been gone. He said, I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their iniquities in their affliction. They'll seek me early. He said, I want to return and go to my place.
Right.
He said, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind. You need a blessing? He's what he's wanting to do, folks. It all depends on this heart and receiving that mercy. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Look at the blessing that he's leaving. Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. You know what kind of blessing he left? He left something that we could give back to him. Isn't that a blessing?
It's a blessing.
You see what that does? That perpetuates the worship.
Right.
God, obviously they weren't leaving nothing for him. Obviously they weren't offering nothing. And he said, since you have turned to me and you've rent your hearts and not your garments, I'm going to leave you some blessings here, some offerings that you can offer unto me.
Right.
It just becomes a continual cycle.
That's right.
God will give more through you than he will to you.
Right. It's good.
You want money? God will give it to you. God will give you money. Just designated for his use.
Right.
My old car is fixing to roll over 400,000 miles. I prayed that vehicle in.
Amen.
I prayed it in now. I kid you not. I've been praying for the next one for over 2 years now. I'm fixing to get another one. There's a little woman down in Mississippi that's poor. She has no vehicle. And I done told the Lord just as soon as I get to that, and I'm going to give her that. One of her daughters died, and she was wicked as the devil. And they just found out that she's going to get $25,000 from some kind of Medicaid insurance down there. And they found out about it, and this woman was supposed to get 25% of that. And she was so happy. She said, I'm going to get me a van. Well, the hospital got downwind of that thing, and this woman owed way more than $25,000 because she was in the hospital for a long time before she died. And guess who got the money? And of course, they called her, and she was just crushed. She wasn't going to get her man. She just don't know. She got one coming.
That's good.
And a blessed one. A blessed vehicle, buddy. Don't use no oil. Don't smoke. 400,000 miles. Tailpipe just as clean as it was when I got it. Good vehicle.
Amen.
Good vehicle. Them tires on it right now got 85,000 miles on it. Good vehicle, man. A blessed vehicle. What's a blessed vehicle worth?
Yeah.
What's a blessed vehicle worth? Once you can get in and go point A, point B, it don't leave you stranded. I'm telling you, son, there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing can beat a blessed vehicle.
Right.
My old man said that's the poorest investment a man ever made was a vehicle. But I'm telling you, it can be a blessed vehicle.
Right.
God wants to bless it. God wants to bless us. And folks, it hinges on what we do with what God says and what we do with what God does for us. When we constantly ignore God's mercy, constantly do not do what God says, constantly let things go in one ear and out the other, folks, it causes God to shut the blessings off.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. But we don't need God. We can go to work, get what we need. We got food. We got what we want. We don't need God.
Right.
But oh, God drives to our knees. You know what I prayed this morning? I didn't just pray. I begged God with weeping and tears running down my face. I said, Lord, I want to finish right.
Amen.
I want to finish right.
Right, preacher.
I don't want to shame the Lord.
No, sir.
I don't want to bring reproach to Christ. I want to finish right. If I don't do anything else, I want to finish right, Lord.
Right.
I'd rather die than to destroy my testimony and send the whole souls to hell that's got their eyes on me.
Right.
I said, I'd rather die, Lord. I'd rather die. You know what this book says? It says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard.
Sir.
Lest at any time we should let them slip.
Right.
That means you got to do something on purpose when you come to church. That means you got to say, Lord, help my ears to hear. Help my mind to comprehend. Help my heart to receive
right.
what you have. And help me to respond accordingly. The word heeds, you know what it says? At Webster's 1828, that's one of the greatest dictionaries ever written on God's earth, as far as I'm concerned, it's the greatest. Noah Webster, a born-again child of God, a genius, a man that glorified God. He said the word heed means to mind. to mind. Remember when you, mom and daddy used to say, you're going to mind me. Mm-hmm. You're going to mind me. Isn't that what they said?
Sir.
You're going to mind me. To take heed is to mind, to regard with care, to regard with care, to take notice of, to attend to, to observe with seriousness, a steady look. Anytime that God has somebody to come by you, you better not ignore it.
Right.
I've got an old friend I used to get drunk with and smoke dope with and party with. I've been trying to find this man for probably 12 years now. And every time I go to my hometown, I cannot find this man. It's brought me to tears. And I beg God, Lord, let me find this man. And I wonder how many times somebody comes your way with the truth. How many times does somebody come up to you and witness to you? I witnessed to an 84-year-old man today, a cussing old stinking Yankee. Blaspheming, foul mouth, cussing, 84 years old. Every word comes out of his mouth, filthy, nasty words.
Right.
And I gave him a gospel tract and I said, you need to read this, sir. I said, you need God. I said, you don't need to die like you are.
Right.
I said, how old are you now? And he said, 84. Just the mercy of God. 84 doesn't even acknowledge there is a God. What mercy. What mercy. How many times in your life, now you tell me this, I'm not asking you to raise your hand or nothing, how many times in your life does somebody come to you and talk to you about Jesus before you got saved? Now some of you, you were raised in church. I wasn't. Two men in my whole life before I got saved. Two men.
Right.
But if you ignore, listen, that God owed me nothing. He should have thrown me in hell when he could have. But he didn't. He had mercy on me. Take heed, he said. If you regard something, it's to keep it. To attend with respect, to value it. Micah 7:18. Who is like God? Who is a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy.
Aye.
God delights in mercy.
Aye.
Not only does he delight in showing us mercy, but he wants us to reciprocate.
Sir.
He wants us to have mercy. He wants us to have mercy. Lamentations 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. It is of the Lord's mercies, plural, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies.
Right.
For he doth not afflict willingly. Here's that. It's going to hurt me worse than hurt you. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. It's not God's will to afflict us. It's not God's will that any man perish and die and go to hell. But let me tell you something. If you ignore God's mercy, that's exactly where you'll go.
Right.
To the place where there's no love, no mercy, no kindness, no compassion, only the wrath and retribution of a holy God. That's for all those that spit at the mercy of God. It's awful. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought in his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, and it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. What about that?
Right.
You know, in the midst of that tribulation, God has got a little handful of people in there. Got a handful of people.
Right.
And he's a feeding them. When everybody else is starving to death and everybody else is dying of diseases, these people aren't. They're eating and they're drinking and they have protection. And God's protecting them and blessing them.
Right.
And there's some of them there, folks, that the Bible said they're going to die. God's not going to show any mercy to them except for the fact that it is mercy He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints.
Right.
What better can you do than graduate?
Right.
I'm ready. Glory to God, this might be the last message that I ever preach. What should I say? If this is the last message that I ever preach, what should I say? If this is the last church service you're ever in, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? On a Wednesday afternoon, we had this old redneck down in Mississippi, about 6'4", big old scrapping boy, just got out of prison. Been out of prison about 5 years, killed a man when he was 14 years old, stayed in prison for about 20 years. And he got out, and he'd come to church ever so often. And he'd come by the church, he knew we had tea in the refrigerator. I was a church mouse, I lived there at the church. My room was right there beside the sanctuary. And I was sitting in my room there studying on a Wednesday night. And old Junior comes walking through, and he walks like he's tearing the floor up, you know it's him. Boom, boom, boom. Went there and got him a glass of tea, and he's coming back out. And I said, hey, Junior, you better come to church tonight. He said, I probably won't make it tonight, but I'll be here sometime. Friday, he's at work, working at a hardware store. He fell over, boom, hit the floor.
Right.
Aneurysm. They put him on life support. My preacher begged his sister, don't pull the plug. He begged his sister, don't pull that plug. Give him a week. Let us pray. Sunday afternoon, his sister said, pull it. Dropped in hell. Just dropped in hell. Sermon after sermon. Message after message. Preacher talked to him, other people talked to him, said no to Jesus and died and went to hell without God. Didn't heed God's mercy. Didn't take and accept God's mercy. Didn't say, oh Lord God, I need to take heed to this thing. It's another opportunity that God has given me. Oh no. Just yawn. Let it go by. 2 Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Samuel, please. I have just a few scriptures and I'm done. 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. 2 Samuel 12. Just some scriptures to jog your memory about the mercy of God. This is a man after God's own heart. You know the story. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. God sent the preacher by and told him what was going to happen. And what God said was going to happen is happening. In the 2 Samuel chapter number 12, the baby that Bathsheba had has been stricken by God. And David falls on his face and begins to fast and pray for this child. Verse 18, it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now listen to what the servant said. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rinse and eat bread, rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, now listen, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Did God tell Nineveh that they were going to die in 40 days? He didn't say, if you don't repent. Read Jonah. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed.
Right.
They had 40 days to prepare.
Let me tell you something. The reception of God's word was so overwhelming that God changed his mind. Is that right? I've heard these asinine preachers. God don't change his mind. No. You better read your Bible, sir.
Right.
There's men change God's mind.
Right.
You hear me? Sure. Men.
Yes, sir.
God was going to kill Israel many times. And Moses, one man, fell on his face, and God did not do what he was going to do because of that man. And the Bible said God was angry to kill Aaron. When they made that calf, God was going to kill Aaron. And Moses said, I pray for him. And God did. And folks, God's mind can be changed. And if you got something in your life, God's willing to help. God is willing. David said, who can tell if God will be gracious and turn? Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know one of the reasons God delights so much in mercy? Because of what it produces. What it produces. Man, my heart is just thrilled. My heart is just thrilled when I realize what kind of mercy God's had on me. And it doesn't cause me to want to shake my fist at God. It doesn't want to cause me to want to sit around and take pictures of myself with a stinking cell phone. It makes me want to fall on my face and say, thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you've shown me. Look at Daniel chapter number 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter 4. This is not a complex message.
It's good.
These were thoughts that God gave me in about 10, 15 minutes. Daniel chapter number 4, verse 27. God is talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream, and the dream has been interpreted as that your days are numbered, sir. God is going to bring judgment on you. And look what he sent the man of God there, and this is what he said. The man of God said, wherefore, verse 27, O king, let my counsel be acceptable. This is what you need to do, king. The judgment of God is pending on you right now. This is what you need to do. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins. Turn to me. Turn to God, he said. My righteousness and thine iniquities by showing what? Mercy to the poor. Why? If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. God said right now, this man of God said, you got judgment on you right now. This God's going to bring judgment on you. It's inevitable. It's not going to stop.
Right.
But, if you stop right now what you're doing, if you'll stop right now the way you're living, is that not what it said? Look at it. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Turn.
It's good.
Turn. And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And for 7 years, this king stayed out in a field like a beast and ate grass till his clothes rotted off of him. And there he is, naked, using the bathroom all over himself like an animal and eating. And people come, I'm sure, from all over the world to see this king out there in the field for 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, God could have left him there. You know how much use God had for that man? God had no use for that man. And at the end of 7 years, the Bible said God gave him everything back that he had.
Right.
What mercy.
Yes, sir.
All his mind. And not only that, put him back on the throne. Put him right back after 7 years, and all his constituents and all his lords and all his captains and all his all the men of his realm saw him out there. And then God put him right back on the throne and let him be king again. That's mercy.
Right.
2 Kings 22. I want you to listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 22. Turn and read with me.
It's good.
2 Kings chapter 22. It's good to hear what the Lord says about
it. Amen.
2 Kings 22. One of my favorite kings. Aside from David, this is my favorite king. I love Josiah. This is a young man. This is a young man who God filled. And he took the bull by the horns, and son, he began to clean house.
That's right.
He cleaned house.
Yeah, I love it.
He got rid of everything that God wanted to get rid of. He started doing everything that God wanted him to do.
Right.
8 years old, and he took the horns of that thing. By the time he was 20 years old, he started cleaning the house. And they found the book in the book of the law.
Right.
Verse number 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he yawned and went to sleep. Said he rent
right
his clothes. He responded to what God said. He heeded what he heard. He said, oh my God, God's going to judge us. Look at it. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the word of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the word of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah, went to Huldah the prophetess, because there's not a man in this place that's a prophet. Mm. Isn't that a shame? That's how low you fall, folks, when you turn from God.
Right.
The wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And listen to what she said. She said unto the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Everything he read you, I'm going to do it. What's that? Hmm. Everything this man read, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Because, why? They have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But, listen what that renting of that clothes. It wasn't just renting the clothes. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word. Again, time does not permit me to tell you what kind of blessing this is for this man.
Right.
You know why? Because when he heard what God said about him, his heart was tender. He said, okay, Lord, I'm done. We're done. We ain't gonna do this no more. We're going to do right. He took heed. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew 18. I want to show you what happens when you refuse the mercy of God. I want to show you what it does to God. Matthew chapter 18. I want you to read it now. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The preacher touched on that Sunday. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. 10,000 talents. He said, you're forgiven. The debt.
Amen.
Forgiven. You don't owe anything. And this is the response to that mercy. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now look at this, listen to this, folks. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother's trespass. You know what he just did? He retroacted his forgiveness.
Right.
That's scary.
Sure.
He retroacted his forgiveness and pardon. He took it back. That's pretty scary. What's the parable about, folks? Why did he tell us this? Is this like a Reader's Digest? We're just supposed to read it? Why did he tell his disciples this?
It's good.
Folks, that's a scary thing, that God would take back that pardon.
Right.
I don't know what all it means, and I know I'm saved till the day I die, and I can't lose it if I wanted to, but that scares me.
Right.
God is a God that delights in mercy, but he does not like people who trifle with his mercy. And you can say here tonight again, do what you want to. Do what you want. This is what the Lord told me to preach tonight.
It's good.
Proverbs chapter 1, last scripture.
Right.
Proverbs 1, very, very familiar. Very familiar. Read it. I want to read it one more time tonight.
Sure.
Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 24. Because I have called, and you refused. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand in mercy, and no man regarded. But ye have set it naught, made it of nothing. Ye have set it naught, all my counsel. Preaching after preaching after preaching after preaching after preaching. Ye have set it naught, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. This is awful. This is awful.
That's right.
He said, now look at the condition of this person who did this. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When fear cometh as desolation, when you are devastated, when you are devastated, he said, desolation, you are destitute, you have nothing. You are so scared you can't do anything but fall down on your knees. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. For why? For they that they hated. Folks, let me tell you something. When you constantly reject God, it's because of your hand.
Right.
That's what this says.
Sure.
Not dislike it. Because they hated knowledge.
Yeah.
And did not choose and make a choice. The fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They wouldn't listen to the preaching. They wouldn't listen to the counsel. They wouldn't read the Word of God. They wouldn't heed the Word of God. And so the day came upon them when it was over and there is no receiving now, no taking heed now, no mercy
right.
now. And he said, now's when they're going to start begging me and I am going to laugh. I've never been to a court, folks. And believe me, I've been in a lot of courts. I've lived a wicked life. I've been before a lot of judges. I've never had a judge to laugh at me. Yeah. I've never had one sentence me, and at the same time he sentenced me to laugh at me. But this is what God said he's going to do. Yeah. So I'm going to laugh. When you're in your worst condition. Because you would not receive my reproof. Mm. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to respond like Josiah. You respond like Josiah. Rip your clothes off. Say, Lord God, I don't even know where to start. But let's start on my knees.
Right.
Good place.
Amen.
Start on your knees and say, Lord, here I am.
Right.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But I'm going to start right here on my knees and say, Lord God, you're right and I'm wrong.
That's right.
Good place to start, amen.
Sir.
Mercy. But you know what? Go through the Bible. Go through there and look at all the people that fell at Jesus' feet. Woo!
Right.
That's the place to fall.
Sir,
look at the people that fell at Jesus' feet. That's where you start. Fall at the mercy of God. He's a merciful God. David numbered Israel. And then his heart smote him. He said, I shouldn't have done that. God would have given us so much. And God said, go down there. And you offer him three things. Two of them was men chasing you, war. He said, I'm going to send a plague in that place. And he told Gad, he said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord.
Right.
He said, greater his mercies. Greater his mercies. You tell you something, when he's a beating you, it's just for our good.
That's right.
When he's a beating me, I know it's just for my good. When he chastises me, I can say thank you, Lord, because I know I'm yours. Don't be scared of chastisement. What you better be scared of is what God says.
Right.
Go ahead. Go on, live the way you want to. You ain't going to listen to me? Go ahead. Go on, run the course that you're running right now. See where it winds up. I mean, even if you're saved in here tonight, folks, are you living for God?
Good.
Are you happy? Do you have victory? Are you just making it? Do you just make it? Do you just endure? Are you just surviving? What a life.
Right.
What a life for victory. What a life for all that we have from God. Just what my soul. We could be in this place tonight and the wind is busting out of the
shore. Sure.
Glory of God.
Glory to
God. We could already, all of us have been on this altar weeping,
right.
singing constant. The preacher would like to preach, but he ain't going to get a chance to.
Right.
Because so many people are praising and are shouting and to God. People getting saved and getting right with God. That's what God wants.
Right.
That's what God will do for us.
Sure.
We'll turn. Father.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. You say what you want me to say, Lord. I know you gave me this message. I know you did. Now I beg you, dear God, to help us. Oh God, if you don't help us, Lord, we won't get it. Lord, no matter how much you help us, you said we got to choose. We got to turn. We got to win. We got something we have to do. Lord, we ask you, please, give God people tonight. Help God's people to rend their hearts and their minds and their souls. Lord, send revival. God, if you don't send revival, we'll never have it. And oh, may it start right here. Whatever the price, dear God, tonight, right. Whatever the price, I'm willing to pay it. You start at my house. Whatever you want, dear God, you take it. To my very life, Lord, anything you want, I'm willing to pay the price.
Right.
Whatever the cost, I have no reserve. I know, dear God, if you don't do it, we're history. Please have mercy. That our children be saved. We'll get right with God. And God would get the glory due his precious name. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We'll stand and sing page 81. Just as I am.